to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, October 20th, 2019, by Eric Williams.
Today's gospel gives us another humorous teaching example from Jesus. He loves to take these extreme examples, and I'm sure the people of the time found them hilarious because they all knew probably a judge who was just like this guy, who was taking bribes, who was basically, he didn't go to synagogue, he was not a good guy. And so they were used to him making unjust judgments. They didn't go to court expecting to get justice. They thought they would have to pay a bribe or do something. So here comes this widow. She can't pay a bribe. She's got nothing. Widows in the ancient world were among the most vulnerable people in the society. They had no status, no power, no money. All she has is her stubbornness. And so she goes day after day after day until this judge is sick of looking at her. And Jesus says, that's how you should think of prayer. What? What is Jesus saying? Is Jesus saying that God is somehow like an unjust judge who will only listen to us if we pester him enough? You think so? That doesn't seem quite right. Jesus likes to make these examples. He says, if this could be true in our earthly life, you know, he says, if you who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, remember that saying? How much more will God give you what you need? And here it is again. If this unjust judge could eventually do the right thing for the wrong reason, how much more will God answer your prayers? Well, this caused a very interesting debate. You know, every Tuesday I go and have a Bible study with some other clergy as we are preparing our thinking about our sermons. And prayer is always an interesting one because how God answers prayer and when God answers prayer is a very challenging issue. I'll tell you a story from my own family. My mother suffered terrible tragedies in her life. When she was young, her younger brother died in a drowning accident. A terrible tragedy. He was being watched by someone who fell asleep. He fell in the water and drowned. It was awful. It challenged her faith. How could God let that happen to such an innocent child? Then, when she was a mother, her own daughter died in a drowning accident, my little sister. Double tragedy. Let me tell you, there was no greater test for my mother's faith than those two deaths, those two tragedies. She could not pray for many, many years, because she could not understand how this could happen, how a loving God could allow such tragedies. Each of us, I think, is challenged by this very same question in different ways in our lives. We pray for things. Sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. How is this working? Let me say that how God answers prayer is a mystery. Does our prayer affect God's perfect will? I don't know. We're told to pray. We're told to be faithful. We're told to be persistent. But we're not told that our prayers will always be answered in the way that we want. So what good is prayer? What good is prayer if it doesn't always work? What good is prayer if we're not even sure how it affects God's will? Well, Jesus gives us a little clue in our scriptures today. He talks about this idea of persistence, that this widow who comes day after day, what is she praying for? She's praying for justice. I think we start out by praying for the things we want, our view of justice. I want my enemy to be destroyed. I want my friends to be rewarded. I want my family to be protected and have good health, right? We have our laundry list of intercessory prayers for the things we want. And we know that those are good things, at least from our perspective. But something happens if we engage in a life of prayer. if we, like that widow, come day after day bringing to God our concerns, something happens inside us. God's will may or may not be changed. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if God responds differently because we have prayed. But I know one thing for sure. God may or may not be changed by prayer, but I am always changed. The habit, the discipline, the life of prayer changes me. Ultimately, living in a life of prayer begins to move me from focusing on my own concerns to gradually focusing more and more on God's concerns. Moving from my picture of justice, what's right and wrong, towards God's greater vision of justice. A world in which all of God's children are blessed. A world where we are connected not only to God, but to all of our fellow human beings, caring deeply about their concerns. When we pray for people in our prayers of the people, we are saying emotionally and empathetically that we care about them. We care about the church and the world and the needs of this community. We are linked to them in some amazing mystical way, and we begin to be changed from within. In a couple of weeks, one of our newer parishioners, Paul Bozomowski, is going to offer a forum on centering prayer. Raise your hand if you've heard of centering prayer before. Centering prayer. Centering prayer is a very different kind of prayer. It's not the prayer, you know, Tony Campolo, a great evangelist, once said, when we pray, it's like we pick up the phone with God and we go, click, right? We tell God everything and then we hang up the phone. Centering prayer is exactly the opposite. It is prayer that asks God for nothing. Prayer in which we just sit and quiet our minds and still our bodies and rest in the presence of God. And sometimes in that centering prayer, God speaks to us. Sometimes we hear what we need to hear for our lives. And so he's going to talk about that as a whole different way of prayer. It's a very different kind of prayer than the widow coming to pester the judge for her concerns. It's really going and sitting at Jesus' feet. You remember Mary and Martha? Martha, who had that laundry list of things, I want you to heal my brother. Why didn't you heal my brother? All this stuff. She's busy in the kitchen. Where is Mary? She is sitting at Jesus' feet. That is centering prayer in its nutshell. So I want to suggest that prayer is about more than getting what we want. That prayer in the end is about grounding ourselves and rooting ourselves in the presence of God and hearing what God has to say to us and being changed from within by our connection, our deep connection to God and to our fellow human beings. Prayer can happen in so many different ways for us. For me, I am fidgety. I don't like to sit still. I go on retreat and I'm like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, right? I want to move around. I pray best when I'm able to ride my bicycle or go for a walk out in nature or run. When my body is occupied, my mind and my heart are set free to dwell in the presence of God. And that is when I get my clearest messages from God and the deepest feeling that I am in the presence of God. I believe, I'll stop after this, but I believe that it's not just the great mystics of the church who had these amazing experiences of God's presence. I think every single one of us here today is a mystic. That if you look back at your life, there has been a moment when you felt the presence of God, right? Maybe it was a moment of terrible pain or loneliness or worry, or maybe it was just being in the beauty of nature, or whatever it was, I bet you could name a time when you felt the presence of God. Prayer should be about looking for and seeking that presence of God, which is what really transforms us from within and helps us to grow more and more deeply into the image and likeness of God, more able to connect with our neighbors, with the world, with the earth, to see God's handiwork and to become transformed into that wonderful, radiant image of God. So thank you for that wonderful story, Jesus, about the persistent widow and the corrupt judge. But you know what? Thank you even more for giving us yourself in these moments of transfigured glory.